Vanetics, with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Fourth Dimensional Reconstruction Physiology as Opposed to Third Dimensional Deterioration of the Body. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
When talking with those ill people who were assembled at the pool of Bethsaida, this group of people believed that the waters in that pool were healing. They had a group of them that were there waiting so that when the bubbles would come up and the pool would do its thing, they could jump in and hopefully they could get healed. And Jesus one day was there and he said to these people, "Many of you are here, sick and afflicted, because of your many years of wrong living. Some suffer from the accidents of time, others as a result of the mistakes of their forebears, while some of you struggle under the handicaps of the imperfect conditions of your temporal existence." Now, most of those reasons for an illness are physical and social reasons. And most of the, what some people would call miracle healings of Jesus, the instantaneous healings that happened, were healings of people that had these kinds of ailments. And my guess is that the majority of those people who had those instantaneous healings were first-time Urantians, first-light souls. And their illnesses were basically a result of living on this planet through accident, through inheritance, the physical ailments. And we do know that there are many physical causes for illnesses on this world. But the Urantia book also points out that there's many afflictions that manifest physically, which are a result of the thoughts and the attitudes in a person. Jesus's words of truth and his revelation, if believed by an individual, could heal them. On page 1836 of the Urantia book, we're told that Jesus frequently delivered such victims of fear from their spirit of infirmity, from their depression of mind, and from their bondage of fear. But the people thought all such afflictions were either physical disorders or possession of evil spirits. Now, what thoughts and attitudes were in those individuals that manifested in a physical illness? Well, they named a spirit of infirmity. Think about that. What is the spirit of infirmity? It's thinking that you're sick or persecuted, you're a victim of some past event or a victim of a present situation, and you're going to hang on to that idea, carrying around that spirit of infirmity. It's a constant thinking and speaking of how overworked you are, or how sick you are, or how misunderstood you are, how you suffer from what someone in the past did to you, how angry you are at men or at women because they, that other gender, have always neglected. They've neglected you or they've abused you in some manner. That spirit of infirmity is constantly thinking and speaking of how you were wrongly accused of something. And on and on and on. But what a burden to carry. Another attitude that Jesus mentioned was a depression of mind. What is that? It's an attitude that the revelation of Jesus could heal that if the individual believed in it. But if a person doesn't grasp onto it, they can't be healed of that depression of mind. And depression is something that all of us have experienced, whether it's momentarily, hourly, daily, days at a time or weeks at a time, or even some of us have experienced it for months at a time or weeks at a time, years at a time. And it's a very, very painful, painful state of mind. But it's something that human beings on your rancher have had to deal with. And what is depression then? It's a lack of hope. It's a discouragement, and discouragement is a lack of courage. It comes as a result of being unhappy with the way things are. Depression can be a lack of vision for the future and a lack of knowledge and faith in God. It can be caused by being so absorbed in yourself that you are sitting in the dark cave, wallowing in your own ego, pride, and self-pity. And as long as you remain in the dark cave of yourself, you cannot come out into the light of hope, having a sense of God's destiny for you and for the world. There is, among counselors, as well as psychiatrists in the third dimension, there's a real popular belief now that depression is not necessarily a psychological cause, that it's a physiological cause, that it has to do with some kind of chemical imbalance. And so there are all of these antidepressants now that are being given to people, from little children clear up into adults. Some of us in this room, some of you have experienced taking some of those drugs to try to help you. Now, we know from continuing fifth epical revelation that there are many physiological imbalances and chemical imbalances that can happen, and often they happen as a result of our thoughts. And we know that energy follows thought. But the antidepressant is not going to solve the problem. It may temporarily relieve some of the symptoms of feeling so down and out, but it is not going to get to the root, which you people who have taken antidepressants, you're very well aware of. We also know that usually they perpetuate the problem rather than negate it. But it's interesting that people who are in the field of healing have such a limited understanding of the human mind and the human spirit and soul. Another attitude that can bring about illness that Jesus mentioned is a bondage of fear. It can keep us from jumping wholeheartedly into our healing. What is it that you fear? Do you fear ridicule or rejection? Do you have a fear of failure or of growing old, a fear of getting fat, or a fear of losing your physical beauty, a fear of losing your identity, a fear of the unknown? On page 1649, goes into 1650 of the Urantia book, we learn of one man who was delivered from his lower thinking. At the pool of Bethsaida, one man who had been many years downcast and grievously afflicted by the infirmities of his troubled mind, rejoiced at Jesus' words, and picking up his bed, went forth to his home. We learn that this afflicted man had waited all these years for somebody to help him. He was such a victim of the feeling of his own helplessness that he had never once entertained the idea of helping himself, which proved to be the one thing he had to do in order to effect recovery: take up his bed and walk. For years, this man wallowed in his mental afflictions, his lower mind, because no one empowered him to do something about it until Jesus came along. What did this man do? First and foremost, he believed Jesus' message, and then he acted on it. And on page 1905 of the Urantia book, Jesus told a group of people in his last temple discourse that many sick and afflicted have been made whole because they simply believed. Well, what are we to believe in order to be healed of our physical and mental afflictions? We are to fill our minds with the revelation of the Urantia book and the continuing fifth epical revelation, and we're to believe it in our hearts. That we're to believe those teachings that are presented in this revelation. We're to believe and accept it as truly a reality and not just some interesting concept to intellectualize about or think about. I think one of the most difficult things for me when I first embraced the Urantia book and began to meet some people who had been reading the Urantia book for years was my shock that many of them, not all of them, but many of them, were not convinced that the Urantia book was a revelation, did not really believe that it was necessarily reality, but it was so intellectually stimulating for them, and they loved that stimulation. And of course, there were those I met that, beyond a doubt, they had embraced it into their minds and hearts, and they knew that it was a revelation and that indeed it was reality. But for me, it was another coming-of-age step, realizing that people can get into a revelation and love the truth of it and the stimulation of it, but not really accept it into their own personal being as true truth, so that it truly transforms them and their spirit. That was a shock that anyone could come across the Urantia book and have that attitude. But yes, there are people who do. We come into Revelation programmed with ideas and attitudes from the third dimension. We come here believing in a reality that our parents, our teachers, and mainstream society has given us. We come here with attitudes and ideas of instant gratification, self-assertion, selfishness, and a feeling of helplessness, insecurities. We quickly embrace the message from the Urantia book and continuing fifth epical revelation of us healing and moving into fulfillment within God's will. But what we don't expect is the time and the energy and the discipline that it takes to truly be healed and fulfilled. That's the clincher for us. We all need to look at our physical discomforts now as manifestations of healing and reconstruction rather than a disease or an illness. We need to begin to rethink things. We need to think and speak something other than sickness and illness. Because if we continue to speak and think sickness and illness rather than reconstruction, we will continue to manifest that rather than reconstruction and the true healing. A third dimensional doctor is going to tell us that we have a disease or problem that needs to be attacked by their physical methods, whether it's an antidepressant, whether it's surgery, whether it's whatever. And if we believe that, we will continue in that non-reality of illness. Jesus ministered to a young man who believed that he was possessed by a demon, when in fact he was simply a victim of ordinary epilepsy, but he was convinced that he had a terrible demon in him. Can you imagine what it's like walking around thinking that you have some horrible demon in you? I'd rather be an epileptic than demon-possessed, personally. On page 1631 of the Urantia book, we're told that this man had been taught that his affliction was due to possession by an evil spirit. He believed this teaching and behaved accordingly in all that he thought or said concerning his ailment. When we do go to a third dimensional physician, or we carry in our minds an idea of what we have and do not really believe what continuing fifth epical revelation is telling us about reconstruction, then we, like the young man with epilepsy, continue to believe, speak, and act as if we had heart disease or cancer or diabetes or PMS or schizophrenia or manic depression or whatever. Just about a month ago, there was a study done in Time. They did a study on the PMS, and they took women, some young women, who had never heard of PMS, and they split them into two groups. And they educated the women, one group of women, about PMS and what it was and the symptoms and everything. They never said a word to the other group of women. And this group of the whole bunch of women that they brought in for this had never suffered any symptoms in PMS. Can you guess the outcome? The women who had been educated about PMS begin to suffer the symptoms of PMS. The women who had not been educated about PMS never suffered the symptoms. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't PMS and chemical things that happen in a woman's body, because indeed there is. But again, it just shows us the power of our minds and what our minds can do with our physical bodies. It's very interesting. Continuing fifth epical revelation tells us that we can heal, that we can move out of those diseases, and we can be reconstructed if we are an Ovan soul. The reconstructed, we can all be healed regardless of our soul age. The definition of healing, according to Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, is making sound or whole, restoring to health, mending, overcoming, patching up a breach or division, restoring to original purity or integrity. The concept of point of origin reconstruction is introduced in Volume 2 of the Cosmic Family. And according to the glossary of Volume 2, point of origin reconstruction is defined as the reconstruction of the complete memory and deoatomic structure of an Ovan soul at the level attained before their incorporation of Luciferic thought into their circuitry. Between those two definitions, can you still see, though, the similarity between healing and point of origin reconstruction? It's there. For first-time Urantians, first light souls, it is more of a healing that they experience, and then they move on into the Marantia body. Paper 216 of the Cosmic Family, Volume 1, states that as the new Marantia, or light body, begins to create itself within the framework of the lower body, a great friction will occur, creating physical, psychological, emotional, and perhaps spiritual conflict. And in that paper, we're told that starseed who find themselves at the first planetary sacred home and properly aligned with the eldership so that they can benefit in the spiritual ascension process should find themselves at war with their lower natures and in discomforts of all sorts with their physical bodies. Makes you almost feel guilty if you haven't had any, huh? Like, don't, please don't. No. Therefore, as you begin with increased insight to discover your potential and strive for that actualization, increased pain and suffering in your present body will be your reality as your old self dies and your new self becomes born. I personally have to remind myself of that often. And I think that all of us in our humanness, and because we're so deeply programmed in the third dimension, that when we begin to go through our own personal reconstruction process, that we'll have those moments where we think that. The fact is that we truly are dying in a way, and that's what the continuing fifth says. It feels like we are dying, that and their certain physical aspects seem to be deteriorating, and they are, because they're supposed to, in order for the Marantia aspect to be born, to evolve. Now, this is all new, not only for us. This is new for most of the personalities in the grand universe. And so they're checking us out. And as far as I can understand from continuing fifth is, I think that this is the first time that this is happening, is here on this planet, this whole idea of moving into a Marantia body without fusing first with your thought adjuster, or, you know, going to the temple and being reconstructed in that way. So this is a new thing. So I can imagine what the celestial beings who are observing and taking their notes and everything as they watch us, the thoughts that they have at times. But that's one thing we should always remember, is that we have these celestial beings who are right there with us, and they are observing us, and they're part of this experiment in some way. I've said this before, and in my highest understanding, I know this, regardless of the tremendous changes that I have gone through physically, and as a result of the changes that I've gone through, there are many things that I cannot do now that I used to love doing before. I live in a body now that's no longer the body I used to have, and there are times I grumble and mumble and snivel and get frustrated and all those things, shake my fist at God, you know, want to kick the dog, those kinds of things that we humans do. But in my highest knowing, I know that in spite of all of my discomforts, and sometimes it can be very uncomfortable, sometimes I feel like I'm being pulled through a keyhole. That's about the best way I can describe it, or I'm being turned inside out. But in all of that, I know that I'm the healthiest I have ever been. Even though I can no longer do long hikes that I used to, I'm doing good if I walk around the yard, you know. And I used to do, I mean, long hikes, 15-mile hikes, loved doing that, loved climbing mountains, loved being physical, as most of you know. Well, I can't do that anymore. And being a desert rat and growing up with Arizona, the heat used to never bother me. And now, this body that I have now cannot tolerate the heat. I think Solano is fairly cool because I have, I immediately suffer serious physical consequences if I let my body temperature get up to a certain point. And so now I'm a real wimp when it's in the heat. It's the way I look at it. I'm a wimp. I'm an invalid, but I'm not. And that's what I need to share with you, is that we all need to not look at ourselves as invalids or ill or whatever, because we're becoming more powerful, but it's in a different way, and we are changing. I have fallen and made the error of thinking and speaking at times, and they're in brief moments, of thinking that I have a disease or an illness. And if I do it, I'm sure that most of you, when you begin to go through your reconstruction process, that that'll happen to you too. And I think that it's so important that we pull ourselves up out of that we kick ourselves. And the thing that I ask of all of you is that when you are aware that one of your family members is going through some kind of physical discomfort that is basically a reconstruction, help them by looking at it in a positive way, looking at it as reconstruction. And in your thoughts and in your words, when speaking to that person, help them see that too by speaking those words of encouragement and reminding them and yourself of what is really happening. I think what happens is that we're going to manifest these in certain ways. Some people manifest it, and it'll be the symptoms of diabetes, or it could be the symptoms of pneumonia. It could be the symptoms of, what are the different diseases? Yeah. Cancer. It could be the various forms of how cancer manifests. It could be the symptoms of
Alzheimer's.
I do feel that sometimes too. Alzheimer's. Yeah. And, I've had that in my family, and so I've inherited that, and I'm manifesting it, and that type of thing. Well, on one, there's so many levels that this happens. On one level, you are manifesting your reconstruction in a physical way, probably as it runs into your family, because you do inherit some of those physical things from your family. But remember, you inherit other things too. And we're for brand new Urantians, you often have extraterrestrial genetics. Some are encoded. And of course, for starseed, we are understanding cosmic genetics that goes lifetime after lifetime. We carry layers and layers and layers of what we've inherited. Consider it when you really feel like you might be dying or going blind or whatever it is, going deaf or whatever, that you're dying to your old body, to your old mind, with all those fears and all those things, the spirit of infirmity that carried around in the mind. You're dying to all of that. You're developing a Marantia ear. You're developing Marantia eyes. You're developing new circuitry within you. And we're also told in continuing Fifth Epical Revelation in Volume 2 and 3 that we'll actually, some of our organs within our bodies will be, some of them will just sort of go away, and some will be transformed and changed. So we have to understand that too. And it's a very exciting thing that we're going through. So we're deteriorating to everything that is luciferic. And everything that we accepted into our belief system and into our reality that was luciferic, that's what is deteriorating and dying. But we are being renewed and reconstructed and reborn and rebuilt, however you want to say it, into the bodies, but first and foremost, the mind, and then the bodies that we are destined to carry forth. And the idea, think of it this way too, we are in a living Marantia temple. And we're not going in and going to sleep, and 3 days later we wake up with this new Marantia body. What we're doing is, it's a much slower process, but it's a much more exciting process, and what an honor and privilege to be involved in it, is that we are transforming moment to moment, automaton by automaton, molecule by molecule, cell by cell. We're transforming organ by organ. And it's a very exciting thing. So it doesn't have to be as physically uncomfortable as we make it. Our minds can make it a lot easier or a lot more difficult. And our encouragement of each other can do that also. So it is a very exciting thing. And I am physically healthier than I've ever been, and I am psychologically and spiritually healthier than I've ever been. And I want to thank all of you for being here, for your support, for your love and encouragement. We're here for all of you too. And look forward and anticipate when you begin your reconstruction process, and you can begin to really become aware of it.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.